Hello, everyone. I'm Dave Graff. I'm here with Brian Robertson. Brian is the CEO and founder of Holacracy. Welcome, Brian. How are you doing?
Hi, Dave. Good. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm really excited to have a chance to talk with you. Being a CEO in a business and understanding that you might have some insight into how I can restructure my business, and I'm sure other folks out there that either consult with businesses or are in them might be really interested in hearing a little bit more about Holacracy. And I was wondering if you might give us a bit of a frame about what exactly is Holacracy, how you came about putting it together, and kind of providing the insight into what might we do to start bringing the philosophies and practices that you've created into the workplace for us.
Yeah. Well, the metaphor I like to use, we say Holacracy is an operating system for organizations, kind of like your computer has an operating system underneath it that controls pretty much everything you do on that computer, the way power is distributed, the way applications work together and share resources, the way they collaborate. So it's kind of the underlying system and structure that everything else is built on top of. And our organizations today also have an operating system beneath them. It's one we often don't think much about. It's just kind of there. But if you think about it, the way we organize, the way power flows, decisions work, the structure of organizations today, all of that really emerged about the middle of last century in its current form, matured up. That's actually quite old for an operating system, and we say Holacracy is an upgrade to that operating system. It's a new way of distributing power, making decisions, coming together, working together around a common purpose. It's a new operating system end-to-end for organizations, and it comes from some very different principles and paradigms than the way we're typically used to organizing today.
So thanks for that overall frame for us. I'm kind of curious, though, about when we think about the people listening to this call and that might want to participate in the program that's being put on, is the framing around integral leadership and how is this operating system, how does it incorporate integral thinking or appeal to folks that may not even be integral, but where this kind of operating system might help in their business?
Yeah, let me share two thoughts around that. One, you may have had this experience in your own organization. What I hear a lot from the integral community and those doing leadership development work with an integral lens is that there's a real challenge when they have leaders that are able to make a developmental leap and see things from a new perspective. Have a deeper awareness, a deeper capacity themselves for conscious response to the world. When those leaders go back into the conventional organizations they came from, it is very difficult to sustain that shift. And ironically, no matter how much leadership development they may have catalyzed internally, they're going back into the same system with its same structures, same processes, same systems. All of the stuff that evoked and kind of held them where they were is still in play, even when they individually get a new capacity. What Holacracy does is change that fundamental structure and system to better hold and express those capacities. And one of the really cool things is even when you don't have people in the organization with all those capacities, the system and structure can hold it to some degree. And when you do have people with those capacities, it frees them to have a different system to go back into that can actually deeply harness the capacity they bring. So one of the quotes we got was from Suzanne Cook-Greuter about this, who's a you may know her, developmental theorist. She went through one of our deep trainings and said what really struck her about Holacracy was here's a system that takes capacities typically only available very late in human development, at very late stages, and it builds them in or bakes them in to the operating system of the company itself so that the whole system evokes and holds and expresses those capacities. And ironically, that makes attempting to change an organization solely through leadership development both less necessary and more impactful. Less necessary because it's not your only lever for change. You're not just trying to change the company by changing the leaders. And yet more impactful because when you do succeed at catalyzing new developmental capacities, they're going into a system that holds them and expresses them better. So less necessary as the only means of change, and yet more impactful at the same time.
Can you give me something kind of concrete around the philosophy that? Yeah, thank you.
Let me use a metaphor to get there and talk about one of these principles underneath of it, something we call dynamic steering. Imagine if we rode a bicycle like we manage a modern company today. It would look something like this. We'd have our committee meetings to plan and analyze how we should ride the bicycle, to kind of predict all of the ways we need to steer it and all of that to get the ride to go according to plan. And then finally, we'd get on the bicycle, we'd hold the handlebars rigidly at the angle we had calculated, we'd close our eyes, and we'd pedal. And if the bicycle fell over somewhere along the journey, we'd get up and we'd say, why didn't we get this right the first time? What went wrong? And maybe who's to blame so we can fire them and get them out of the picture, and we know what to do differently next time. We obviously need more upfront prediction, more control, more top-down management to lock in according to plan. And at the core of Holacracy is a paradigm shift from that mode of management, what I call predict and control thinking, to something much more like what actually happens when you ride a bicycle. It is not a process of predicting once in advance and then controlling to unfold according to plan, which is fighting reality and giving you a comfortable illusion of control. When you actually ride a bicycle, you get more real control by staying present in the moment and flowing with reality, responding to it every moment. Steering is not something you do once up front. It's something you do every moment in the journey with your eyes wide open. You're taking in data and adapting continually. You are dynamically steering, not statically steering up front. And it's that paradigm shift, I think, that infuses all of this new method of organization. And talking about integral leadership or conscious leadership more generally, more broadly, this takes a consciousness organizationally, an organizational capacity to sense anything in its reality and respond to it in the moment in flow. How many organizations do you know today that can genuinely say anything sensed by anyone anywhere in the company has a place to go to get consciously processed and responded to quickly and rapidly? Very few. Most companies do not have that level of conscious response capacity to their reality. Most of them are still in a mode of trying to fight reality with predict and control management and resist reality with predict and control management. So to me, this is a major paradigm shift and a tool for those in the organization to actually have a system that supports and expresses a different way of working. And that shows up in all different meeting processes, decision-making systems. There's lots of different concrete bits of this overall method. So I don't know if that's getting at your question. I can give you some more concrete as well if you like. But
that's good, Brian. I'm kind of wondering how folks in an organization that are so deeply ingrained in that predict and control, and excuse me for generalizing a bit, when I think about engineers and accountants, and they have their systems and they've got their methods, how you create an opening in them for them to kind of loosen their grip and try something that's a bit more responsive to what's just popping up in the moment.
Yeah, and I think you've actually hit on it right there. All that's needed is to try it. The experience will speak for itself. So when we help work with an organization, all we're doing is saying, just try it. Give it a shot. You can throw it out tomorrow if it doesn't work. Give it a shot and get the experience of it. And it's the experience of it that sells it. Because, let's be clear, dynamic steering is still about control. It's just about getting there very differently. Instead of getting stuck in our own personal egoic control and fusion with the company and trying to control it for our sake the way we think it should be controlled, it's about surrendering to the natural flow of reality and actually gaining more real control, less illusion of control, more real control. So once that's experienced, folks that want control will feel it. They'll feel it coming from a very different source. It's the control that comes from flowing with reality and maximizing your ability to consciously process and respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
But that is still very real control. And in fact, once you taste that, it's very difficult to go back to that comforting illusion of control that really comes from the predict and control approach. Let's be honest, how many times does that give you real control in an organization through that level of upfront predict and control management? It's much more often the comforting illusion than the real.
Well, yeah, we all pretend together, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is it your sense, though, that the leader, the guy or girl at the top of the organization, that they've got to be strongly at least close to second tier, or does that not even really matter to you?
You know, less so, much less so. The system holds the capacity itself to a large degree. So what there is a need for from whoever's at the top in the conventional structure is at least some buy-in to doing this and going with it, which could come from their own capacity, and they see this system and they see what it's going to do, and it might come from that. It might come from a developmental capacity. But it could come from something else. It could come from a very practical sense of, I need my organization to be more responsive to the market. Or we had one group of entrepreneurs, they just wanted to sell their company and cash out. And they knew to do that, they had to unfuse it from themselves as founders and put it into an organizational system that allowed the organization to function without them, or nobody would buy it. So in their case, the motivation came simply from wanting a system that was beyond them so they could sell, and not wanting to lose their entrepreneurial agility as they adopted more formal controls and formal systems. So, you know, the motivation can come from anywhere. I think one of the most powerful motivations that we've seen so far is from somebody at the top who does have the capacity to see what this really is, mm-hmm. and the capacities it's integrating into the company.
Yeah.
And that said, one of the ironies of this, and of me even being involved in a leadership discussion, although I'm involved in many, is this in many ways distributes leadership. And it's not so important to have, once you've adopted this, to have the guy at the top with that level of complete awareness. Holacracy is a distributed leadership system. Leadership shows up throughout the entire organization, and it uses each of us to the best of our capacity to show up and sense and process reality. So it's a very different paradigm, and one that actually relies less on the heroic leadership of our current structures than we see in the world today.
So at the conference, what are some of your thoughts about how to maybe share this experience with some of the participants so that we can walk away with a little bit more knowledge about some of the principles that you're espousing?
Yeah, so one of the things I'd like to do is just offer an overview, the whirlwind tour of what is this system more concretely, go more into some of the principles, this dynamic steering shift, there's some other really kind of core principle shifts, and then move into what is the organizational structure. It's a very organic organizational structure, very different from what we're used to. What does that look like? What are the different meeting and decision-making processes? There's decision-making methods that give and guarantee everyone has a voice and yet avoid the tyranny of consensus. So how do we do that? How do you have a structure that gives everyone a voice without getting stuck in the tyranny of consensus? So I'd like to talk more about all that and kind of give the overview and then have some space for questions and answers and just dive in and see where people want to take it from there.
Yeah, that sounds great. I've seen on your site where you use the word governance, and it seems to be a very deliberate word that you're using. And I'm just kind of curious if you couldn't, you know, dig a little deeper and tell us what governance really is about in the Holacracy frame.
Yeah, it's not a very sexy word in our current understanding of it. You think about corporate governance, and it sure doesn't sound very sexy. But in Holacracy, it actually gets kind of sexy. It's governance is about how we work together. So just consider, how many times have you been in an organization and it kind of felt some tension about how things work around there, about the way things work here, or how we work together, or something like that. And in most organizations, there's nothing much you can really do when you sense some friction or frustration in how we work together. It's very difficult to do something with that sense. One of the goals of Holacracy is to provide governance processes that evolve how we work together so that anyone, anywhere in the company who senses any tension or opportunity about how we work together and how we could work together more effectively, anyone who senses anything has a place to go to get that processed into meaningful change in the organization. And again, not many companies today have that, because we think of governance as something that happens just at the top and something that is really just meaningless to that day-to-day operational work. And in Holacracy, that's not true. Governance is distributed. Every team in the company has a governance process to evolve with real learning from how we've been working together, integrate that learning, and evolve how we work together. Who's going to do what? Who makes which decisions? Who has what authority? Who gets input from whom? Do they have to listen to that input? All these questions are relevant in any team, but we rarely talk about them. Holacracy gives us a clear process to integrate our tensions about that and come out with some new evolved governance throughout the company.
You know, what sounds so exciting to me about it, Brian, is that I get the sense of real engagement by the folks in the company, that it's more than just following a process for a process or coming to work just to come to work, but folks are brought in. The system encourages participation, which to me just brings engagement online, which is something that, boy, I know I struggle with a lot in my organization, particularly by frontline staff, to really show up with their gifts and talents and to really recognize that work offers a lot more than just a paycheck if they could just show up.
Yeah, and it's no wonder we have issues with that in our current structures, when most of the things people sense, most of the opportunities or the tensions, as we say they sense, are very difficult for them to do much with. So it's no wonder they get disengaged. It's difficult to have a voice in our conventional structures. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you put in place a system that gives them a space that they can use to actually have a real meaningful voice and impact, the engagement is not something you have to force. It's something that's naturally evoked. It allows people to process what they experience and what they sense. And to me, that gets you more engagement than the conventional approaches I've seen. You're changing the nature of the system itself. And part of that change is shifting from our leader as heroic leader, as parent, to the children, the child of employees in the organization, which, whether we want it or not, our current structure is built with that paradigm in mind. The heroic leader, the parental company, and the child employee, no matter how much we want to avoid it, the system pushes towards it. Again, it's no wonder they're not engaged. Holacracy has a very different paradigm, and it breaks that parent-child relationship and invites everyone to find their power, find their voice, find their intrinsic motivation, and contribute to something larger than themselves, show up fully and authentically in service of something larger than themselves. And that's both a burden and a weight to bear, and a deep opportunity when people are ready to step up and take it. It says no one here is going to come in and save you and lead you even. You are in charge of leading yourself, of processing your own tensions in service of this purpose. And here's a system and a structure and a process to hold that and make sure you do it in alignment with everyone else.
That sounds hopeful. Is there anything else that you would like to throw out as we close for anybody listening in terms of thoughts about what you might be offering, or even some current work that you're doing with Holacracy that is really exciting at the leading edge of what you're trying to bring out in the workplace?
Yeah, well, I guess I'll just offer what excites me right now is actually seeing this come to life in real organizations, and we're working with many now all over the world, and seeing that shift, seeing not just empowering leaders, not just better leaders. It's not what this is about. It's about a system that offers that voice, that offers that empowerment, a shift beyond the heroic leadership models that we have in our systems and structures today. And seeing that come out is just deeply exciting, seeing the impact, the people rising to that new call. So I look forward to sharing some of that and some more stories as we jump into the conference together. And I'm sure we'll have lots of places we can go with this. But, yeah, I think that's a good overview.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, and I'm looking forward to what you're bringing to the conference in a few weeks. And I truly appreciate your time, Brian. Thanks very much.
Great. Likewise. Thank you.